certain things kind of trigger us, positive and negative.
No doubt.
I'll tell you one thing that triggers me in a positive way.
Okay.
And it's when people just go all in with their effort. I like your results are your results,
yep.
But you know me.
Yep.
Process. So when you go all in with your effort, I am impressed. So I don't even know. Jody, can you hear me? Hey, everybody, make some noise. The whole group, make some noise. Come on, make some noise.
Okay. That's a group.
Dude, it is 4 o'clock on a Tuesday,
yeah.
And y'all live in the South Bay, and we're in Mission Rock, and you're here.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your independent wealth, number one. And also, like, wow, look at this group.
They're it's a
like,
great group.
And it's still growing. There's more on the way, apparently.
And it's not even 4, so not only do they make the effort, process versus results, I'm a results guy, and the result is they're here 10 minutes early.
They're early.
In their VIP area, and, you know, you got a ton of listeners. We got Jerry Rice over there. Happy that Jerry was able to make it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're about to yak in on their draft.
Dude.
And no better place to do it than live with Willie and Dibby.
Yeah, no doubt. So this is going to be fun. They're starting to get ready. Some more are going to be on their way. I think that they've done a little bob and weave, like Lucas asked them, like, how long has this league been together? And Jody's like, well, we kind of, I think in a way it sounded to me like he was like, we kind of started to build this league.
Right.
Actually, after I won the prize, maybe, you know, you're out, you're in, because you can go, or whatever it may
Perfect.
Be, but
yeah,
so bunch of people here, which we're excited to see, hell of an effort, and we'll be eating their food shortly, we can't wait.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Save some for us, because we'll be over there during the break, and that's just kind of the way that goes.
Yeah, you see the way my mind works, Tim, it's like, yeah, they're all here, which, like, the first thought is, oh crap, they might actually eat all of the food, there's a lot of them. But then again, I have a good seat, and I figure they seem nice, and I'm going to help myself here pretty soon. So let's get the party started.
Let's do it. Let's get it started. And, you know, once you get into this point where fantasy drafts are popping off, and I know ours is next week.
Next Wednesday night.
We got the Red and Gold Summit, which is, you know, groundbreaking, and, you know, nice to know that we're the ones who've been doing it for a long time, and we absolutely rock those things. But, you know, you start with every day, you clip closer and closer and closer, and we are now 9 days away from real football.
From an actual game. 9 days from an actual game, 12 days away from a 49er game.
7 hours.
And the roster is ready to go, except for the roster is not fully ready to go. If you're just tuning in, know the Juwan Jennings drama has not been figured out. The Niners kept 5 receivers. Only 2 of them are technically healthy, so more moves are clearly on the way as they continue to try to work through this thing, .. whatever it is. We still don't even really have definition of what's going on, but it's pretty easy to tell that the Niners, A, need to do some things wide receiver-wise, but also, B, I think, in a way, they feel pretty good about what it is they're at least about to do, because surprisingly, a lot of the, like, in emergency break glass options they had, they got rid of them. They didn't keep Russell Gage. They didn't keep Robbie Chosen. And so maybe they're going to bring those guys back if they make the practice squad. We'll see how that all works. Maybe the Jennings situation is in better shape than we think it is. That's all still TBD.
Right, and we're not to the point yet where you're desperate to have him come in. You were right to say that, okay, practice tomorrow. The cuts have been made. Now you're the group. And, you know, if this was a high school team, and as a coach, I've gone through cuts where the next day, first day of practice, you get everyone together and you say, all right, this is the group. This is what we're going with. Tough conversations yesterday. Here's our team. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to rock it. We're going to practice here. We're going to practice there. We're going to go out and have a year. And so I don't know if Shanahan will bring all the fellas together in that same fashion, but starting tomorrow, you're the group. And I know with injuries and pup list and suspensions, there's still going to be a bit of a revolving door. But by and large, tomorrow, you're the guys. And we have faith in you. And, you know, if you're, you know, Colby, the seventh round rookie offensive lineman,
yep.
You made the team.
You made
man.
It. You made
All right,
it.
Connor Colby.
Yeah.
Come block somebody.
Congrats. Yeah, he's in. So here's what I saw, though, earlier today. And it came from our friend Cam Inman, who covers the 49ers so well. And this is when I want to grab all of this fear, because this is kind of the way we fan. Most fans, especially if it's sports radio, you kind of wake up thinking what's wrong. You know what I mean? You wake up thinking, all right, the wide receiver room, what the hell's going on there? What about the injuries on the offensive line? And are these young defensive linemen going to actually produce? These are my fears. Well, what if we did this from the other side? And I hear a lot of people say, look, it is a transition year. You can't expect too much from the 49ers. You expect some.
Sure.
But you can't go over the top. Like, I'm out on this idea that the Niners are a big favorite this year. And then Cam wrote something that we have talked about a little bit. But to see it in print, it hit me. It straight hit me. I'd like to read to you, because all of the teams on the Niners' schedule have now officially named their starting quarterback.
For week one, yeah.
The last one to do it was the New Orleans Saints, who just announced it earlier today. So, I'm going to read you the list.
Okay.
And you tell me what goes through your mind when I say it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the list. Sam Darnold, Spencer Rattler, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young, Joe Flacco, Cam Ward, Daniel Jones, Caleb Williams. As far as week one is concerned, those are the starting quarterbacks for the teams the Niners will play this year. And I would like to flatly ask each and every one of you, especially those of you who have struck some sort of a negative chord with regard to the Niners' chances this year, listen to that list.
Oh, yeah.
And someone explain to me, other than injury to major players, what on earth could your reasoning possibly be for thinking that the 49ers will not be a playoff team this year? I would love to hear someone pitch this to me and explain to me, again, other than major injury, I don't want to hear Brock or Christian might get hurt. Other than that aspect, how on earth can you look at that list and tell me that your expectations are not high for the San Francisco 49ers?
They should be high. Just a couple things. First and foremost, as you're rattling those names off, one thing really struck me. How many of those quarterbacks they're going to face were the number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
Ooh, that's fun. Let's see. One.
Uh-huh.
Two.
Yep.
Three.
Yep.
Four.
You got it.
Four. Five.
Yep. Keep going.
Six.
Keep going.
Really?
Seven.
Seven?
Caleb Williams.
No, I got Caleb Williams.
Cam Ward.
Yeah, I got Cam Ward.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young, that's
Trevor
three.
Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Calamari.
Oh, my eyes went over Bryce
Baker
Young.
Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
And then you go all the way back to Matthew Stafford
yeah,
in 2009.
So by the way, it's half. Half of the quarterbacks.
Correct.
Number one overall
pick. So just
pick.
Hearing that list, I was like, man, that's a lot of not only first-rounders, but number one overall. And the counterpoint to what could possibly go wrong is the defense last year, and I know Saleh is in, and I mentioned this to Charles Davis,
yep.
29th in points per game allowed, hideous. They only had two takeaways over the last nine games, which is, you can't survive when you're doing that defensively. And this is the other capper, Mark. Red zone defense last year, 31st out of 32. So if the defense is not a lot better, you can find your way into losing some of these games against teams that you should beat.
Well, of course. I'm not suggesting they're going to go 17-0.
I know.
And some of these quarterbacks that I just mentioned are not bad players. Stafford's a wonderful player.
Yep.
If he's healthy. Baker Mayfield.
Kyler Murray's problematic for you.
He's problematic, right? And yes, Baker Mayfield, this is a good player. Russell Wilson used to be, but he's capable. And we don't know who Cam Ward is going to be. And Caleb Williams has a new coach, and he might be better. And Sam Darnold was dangerous last year. Like, I can do all of that, but like, listen to that list when you say it all at once. And again, notice that the Josh Allens of the world, the Burrows, the Mahomes, the Jalen Hurts, on we could go, even to the Jared Goffs and the Lamar Jacksons and the Justin Herberts, and we can go on and on.
Sure.
None of them are on the 49ers schedule. So
I was looking at the Mike Sando quarterback tiers.
Yep.
They play one game, actually two games against a tier one, Matthew Stafford, if the back holds out, and they play two games against quarterbacks in Tier 2. Mm-hmm. The rest of your games, your other 14, are Tier 3 and below.
Well, and some of these young guys are allowed to be good just because they're not in the tier. Like Cam Ward might be amazing. I don't know.
Could be.
Right?
Caleb Williams should be better.
Everyone's telling us that he'll be better. Bryce Young was, nice at the end of the year last year. But I think overall you get the idea. So that's truly where my mind's at, and we'd love to take some calls on that right now, just as a test case. 888-957-9570. If you don't think the 49ers are a playoff team this year, give me one reason that's not,
injury.
Christian McCaffrey could get hurt. Take that off the board, because that's a big who knows. That's a feather blowing in the wind. But outside of that, when I counter with that list, if you've got any respect for Robert Saleh whatsoever, you think this is a playoff team. I'd love, and I'm going to be open-minded here, but I'd love to hear somebody pitch to us the idea that expectations should be tempered for this team when that's who they're playing. Give me a break.
Right. I mean,
give me a break.
I don't think that it should be tempered, and I've been on record saying I would go over the 10.5. I think there's 11 wins in this schedule, even if you sustain some injuries. And, even if McCaffrey misses a month, you now have Brian Robinson Jr., who is more than competent. He's
totally
a guy who could step in. Basically, he's kind of Jordan Mason. You would expect that sort of productivity if he gets opportunity. The interesting thing to me, Mark, is the timing of the offseason. January, you bring back Robert Saleh, and then in April in the draft, you use your first five picks on defensive players. So if you think that Robert Saleh had a voice in that room, you're absolutely right. So Saleh gets hired, and then you take five defensive players first in your draft.
Yep.
So that tells me Saleh liked certain players, and the team went forward trying to make this defense better. So if you believe in Saleh and their ability to find defensive talent, then absolutely they should be better.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and in this particular case, coming to you live from Splash at Thrive City, where Jody and the gang are getting ready for their fantasy draft. They are on the scene, maybe a few more going to work their way in, and then the draft will unfold, and so we'll start to get a little bit of a vibe of what a draft looks like, feels like, who's going higher than we thought, who's going lower than we thought. Just one example, but it's kind of fun to see that, almost use it like your own mock draft, if you will. So that's all going on right now. Willard and Dibbs live, and again, 888-957-9570. What if you take that other perspective? What does that do for your expectations of the 49ers this year? And I have a huge amount of respect for Robert Saleh, and he's not going to keep this thing vanilla by any stretch. And so, sure, I know there will be injuries. I know there will be players who right now are question marks, and maybe they will underperform. I know everyone's excited about Marquise Siegel, but who knows? What happens when the lights come on? I don't know. I'm not suggesting they're going to win all the games, but explain to me how they're going to lose most of them. Explain to me how they're going to lose most of the games to these quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's not about most of them, but if you want to just go ahead and play the schedule game, worst case scenario, injuries aside, you're opening up against Seattle on the road, never easy.
Correct.
And Sam Darnold coming off a great year, and the Seahawks with a great defensive-minded head coach, that game feels to me, without Juwan Jennings, maybe he plays, and who knows what the receivers are going to be like. That game feels like a Jake Moody special. It's a losable game in the opener against Seattle. That game is more likely to be 17-16 than it is 31-30.
Yeah, you're probably right. And then, the very next week you get to go play Spencer Rattler. Give me a break.
He's likely to get rattled at home. Rattler. That's a two.
Kyler Murray after that. Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford again. I'm not saying, and then Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying these are incapable players. But there's nobody who is going to come in and just carve you up if your defense is, worth a salt. I still want to trumpet that as much as possible. When people go through all of the reasons why things went south for the 49ers last year, you'll hear most people go, injuries, Mark. It was injuries. sure, you're not wrong, and some of those injuries were on the defensive side of the ball. So if that's your point, I get it. Although when people talk about injuries, they're not usually talking about defense. They're talking about McCaffrey. They're talking about the wide receivers. That's what they're usually talking about, Trent Williams. But that team had went 6-11 last year because, as you just pointed out, their defense was patently awful. They were not bad. They were terrible.
Right.
They were brutally, brutally awful. And they were still in games that we often felt, man, you had that. You had that sucker there at the end. At least three or four games where you're like, dude, you just coughed that up. And that was with a defense that was performing at a bottom of the league level. If Saleh can get this even just into the top half of the league, I think the 49ers are going to have a wonderful season.
And I think that it's going to come down to how they do in the second half, and I'm going to borrow from Guru and throw out a Maggie Seaver growing pains, because when you're going to start and rely on this many, thank you, young players, it might be a November, December where the defense really starts to take hold. And to that point, you've got the Panthers and the Browns, you've got the Titans, the Colts, and the Bears all in the back third of your schedule. So you're talking about the schedule, and, you know, Seattle on the road early is tough. You mentioned Rattler, fine. Arizona's beaten you twice in a row.
Sure.
And, you know, the Jaguars should be better, but, I mean, not better enough to win.
Yeah.
Short week against the Rams. The Rams are going to be very difficult. Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield and that offense is going to test you now. So when you get through that first six, you might be 3-3. And at that point, obviously, no time to panic, but I think that the first six games are a lot tougher than the last six.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara here on Willard and Dibbs live at Splash at Thrive City. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, going off of your question, Willard and Dibbs, you know, barring injuries aside and everything, the one area I think that could just be a questionable for me is the receiver play. For me, you know, you're obviously getting Ayuk back after week six, but again, how is he going to be after 6 weeks? And also, you know, how comfortable and how fresh is he going to be? And if you remember last season when he was coming back, he did not have the greatest time before. He did not have the greatest play before he got hurt either. So that's one part for me. How is Juwan Jennings going to feel? How fresh is he going to be? Not really playing at all during the preseason amid, like, you know, the calf strain or the contract situation. So you're really left with just, you know, Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, and I mean, you're out DeMarcus Robinson for 3 weeks also now. So really for me, it's the wide receiver section that's really questionable for me that could lead to a potential bad season. Among that, you guys, you also kind of said it, Dibs, you know, what's going to happen with the Moody situation? How many times has it come down where a point or 3 points has really made a difference in the game where we could have won it? So those are my two areas, guys. And last thing I wanted to say is can't wait to see you guys on the 4th over at King's Fish House. So looking forward to meeting you guys finally.
Mike, can't wait to see you there. Yeah, it's going to be a big night next Thursday night. We're looking forward to it. Mike, you bring up legit concerns. I'm certainly not trying to make a point that the Niners are concern-free. I'm just talking about how do you then blend that with what you're going to see as the larger scale of their schedule. If you want to have concerns about the wide receiver slot, who doesn't? Everybody does, but I also think that's largely a concern early rather than late. This could go a bunch of different ways, but you know, I've said this a bunch of times. If you do get some level of health as you get deeper into the season, I'm very comfortable with the group.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of depth there, actually, but that comes once you get into the season. If you're concerned about it early, I get it, but I don't think the first 3 weeks of the season, those are not going to crater your entire year. It's not enough for me to say, oh, yeah, the Niners might not be good this year.
Agreed, and I just look at the first three, the games that DeMarcus Robinson will miss with the suspension now becoming official pre 1 o'clock, so he's out until week four. I think that the game at Seattle is going to be a lot of two tight ends, a lot of two running backs, and it's going to be a lot of smash mouth in both directions. Seattle's got a good running game, and the Niners are going to try to impose their will. At the Saints in week two, I mean, if if not having Ayuk and maybe Juwan, and we don't know about Juwan, but you should be able to beat them with Gage and Chosen and Pearsall and whoever else you want to roll out to beat the Saints. You were funny earlier on our show thread. You just sent a picture of a tank.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first I was like, all right, what? And then I was like, oh, he's implying that the Saints are tanking.
Yes, correct. They would like Arch Manning to be their quarterback next year.
Well, he's not going to be their quarterback.
Probably not.
You know, he's going to say no thank you. His grandpa's been through it. His grandpa was there, and he got the tar beat out of him when he was a Saint back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
It was, but it was just interesting because I don't think the Saints are tanking. I just think they're terrible. So, and it's a fine line between the two.
Yeah, I mean, the tanking. Like, again, I think at a certain point you're smart in this league when you don't have a clear answer at quarterback and you're not in love with options that you have in the draft. Then kick the can down the road. Don't force it. Don't be like, let's go get Aaron Rodgers. No. Give us Spencer Rattler and give yourself a shot at the first or second or third pick next year where you could actually get someone that you can build around. So it's not a tank. It's more just like, willfully losing.
Sure, we'll get you next time.
Yeah.
Interesting about that because the Jags, the Week 4 opponent, they don't have their first-round pick next year. They traded it to Cleveland to move up to pick up Travis Hunter.
Yep.
So, you know, the Jags are all in on their quarterback. That's Week 4. Robinson back for that. And so I'm with you. If you get to, let's just call it Week 10. If Ayuk is ready after Week 6 or 7, but it takes him a couple weeks to ramp up, you get to Week 10, Juwan's settled his contract, Pearsall's now in the heart of a first real NFL year, and you've got, you know,
DeMarcus Robinson,
and then
there's questions of, like, you know, maybe
Cowing or Watkins.
They really like Watkins. Maybe he's able to do some things.
But you've got that depth that you're talking about. And it had me thinking a little bit about the Giants rotation this year where you had all this depth and then you traded two starters. I mean, Jordan Hicks, adios, pelota, and Kyle Harrison immediately into AAA. But then you had some injuries in your rotation, and now all of a sudden your position of strength was now a position of weakness.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to do that if you're the Niners at receiver, is all I'm saying.
No doubt.